I have to say that the city did try to do things to make it easier with opening outdoor seating, closing the sidewalks for businesses. But living in Michigan, we knew that wasn't going to be enough to keep us going.
As COVID-19 cases balloon in Michigan, the state has shut down indoor dining again. How many Michigan restaurants will be left standing after the pandemic is over? This is the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer.
I know that there are a lot of restaurants in our state that are worried about the weeks to come. I'm worried too. I urge all Michiganders to support your favorite local restaurant by ordering takeout and delivery or buying a gift card for yourself later or for your friends. It helps these businesses now.
That's Governor Whitmer at a press conference Thursday afternoon. There are so many businesses struggling right now, but it's been especially hard for bars and restaurants, which already exist on pretty thin profit margins. I'm sure there are some spots in your town that have gone dark this year. Places you used to spend hours with your friends, or maybe a place that your kids especially enjoyed. For a lot of people in Ypsilanti, Dolores was one of those spots.
Yeah, so we were a bar restaurant that served homemade Mexican food. We also were really proud of our cocktails and our tequila and mezcal offerings.
The owners of Dolores decided to shutter their place during the lockdown this spring. They are Andrew Epstein and Marcela Rubio Orozco. They're also a couple. Andrew, Marcela, good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
What was it like trying to stay afloat in those first few months before you made the decision to shut down?
Well, it was brutal. You know, we hadn't been open too long. We just celebrated our second birthday this past February. But because of what was going on and the more that everyone was learning about the disease, it became, you know, very clear that for the safety of our guests and our staff that we needed to temporarily close, which we did. Our last night being open was the 13th of March. Then once the restrictions came into place with the, you know, limited capacity, it was unfortunately just made it not possible for us to reopen because selling tacos, we really needed to be kind of busy all the time in order to make our business model work.
Right. And people who aren't in the restaurant business may not know that alcohol sales are often a pretty substantial part of the profit margin. When you don't have that more social environment, it's kind of hard to, even with takeout cocktails, it's kind of difficult to keep those sales flowing.
Absolutely.
What was the size of your staff?
So we had like
about 12 people.
Yeah.
About 12 people, a few full time, and then some part time. So that was the hardest thing, I think, is because about half the staff had probably been with us since the beginning. And so when you are talking about shutting down, it's just not us that you're impacting. You're impacting our staff as well. We thought of ourselves as a little bit of a family, but we just knew that in the long run, we weren't going to be able to survive.
And with everything you're seeing now,
we just expected to be shut down again.
Yeah. Those winters. I mean, it's just hard to get around that. You know, several restaurant owners that we've talked to over the course of the year have brought up the role of uncertainty in trying to navigate the pandemic. I mean, is there enough profit margin, you know, just making a certain kind of food? Might it be doable with an adjusted menu? How will staff feel about coming back? That there were just all these question marks that were very, very hard to factor into their decision making. How did all that uncertainty affect the financial realities that you were looking at?
Immensely. I mean, that's actually one of the bullet points that I had written down, is just the uncertainty of essentially how are people going to feel. Also, like, would they want to go back into a restaurant? There were so many unknowns, like, is it going to go away after the first 3 weeks? Like, you know, some people had said, is it going to stick around for you a whole year? I think that was one of the reasons that we decided to not do any of the takeout options that were available to us. I mean, we just struggled so much and went back and forth during the summer about like what our next plan was going to be. And I think we're still
We're
doing that.
still uncertainty is still, you know, a big issue going into the winter with the vaccines coming up. But, you know, for us, it really was always about just safety, and we didn't feel comfortable with the people that are required to make it work in terms of the purveyors, the deliveries, the people that have to cook in the kitchen, which a lot of times isn't always 6 feet apart. So we just, you know, still feel good about our decision, even though it was gut-wrenching to have to close down.
You know, we're in a situation right now where the State Department of Health and Human Services has shuttered sit-down indoor dining for the moment, the past 3 weeks. We'll see if it goes beyond that, knowing that we just have to get the caseloads down. And some folks have said that, you know, maybe that's a difficult decision to defend, given that some other businesses remain open. You can go get a haircut, but you can't go out to dinner. Knowing what you know, what do you think of the Whitmer administration's decision to close the restaurants at this time?
You know, we are kind of stuck between two places. I mean, for us as individual citizens, we hope that she is following what medical experts recommend in all aspects, not just selectively closing businesses. And if the experts deem this to be the right option, then as citizens, we honor that. As business owners, I can't deny that it's hard for us to really be
Affected.
that we're not being
Yeah.
affected. I mean, this has we've worked on our business for the past, you know, leading up to us opening, we were working on it for a while beforehand. And then to have our little baby kind of just be closed when we thought we were turning a corner, it's not the best feeling, but it's not an easy decision either way. I mean, I think.
And I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, you know, from what we're learning about the disease, I think that we have to take these measures if we're going to get on the right side of it, unfortunately.
And I think what ideally we would like to see is additional support for these businesses that do have to shut down. So we understand that this is part that needs to happen in order to maintain the health and safety of the citizens. But we would like to see some assistance with us getting through this so that we can come out on the other side and be successful business owners and contributing to the economy like we'd like to.
Right. Could you tell us a little more about your plans for the reboot?
Yeah, so we're excited. We are hopefully going to open this December, and we're going to be like more or less a retail version of what we were doing. A lot of the same ingredients, but in a new package, you know, not a restaurant, but more of a store. We're going to be selling wine, beer, liquor, cocktails to go, as well as packaged meals that you can make at home and have your own fun Dolores night at home.
Yeah. So for instance, we would be selling like our adobos that we make on our for our meat so that you can make your own versions at home and our salsas and tortillas, things like that. We also hope to have pop-up guests so that we can have the takeout experience of you know, people that have always wanted to try the restaurant experience that, you know, maybe didn't have the space. We'd like to collaborate and have them do their pop-up dinners that can be taken home with them.
Could you see yourselves getting back into sit-down dining at some point?
We were actually just talking about that, and it's something that.
I think it all goes back to the uncertainty, April, you know. I would love in a shorter term to like be able to reopen the bar at the very least on a weekend, you know, maybe do just like a smaller capacity so people feel safe and comfortable, even if we did, you know, 12 people a night, just to be able to be open. But in terms of a sit-down restaurant, I got to be honest that I am somewhat pessimistic about when that day will come.
Andrew Epstein and Marcelo Rubio Orozco, the co-owners of Dolores, a Mexican restaurant in Ypsilanti that did close earlier this year. Guys, I just can't imagine what this year has been like for you. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, April.
Thank you.
It's time for a quick break. When we get back, some restaurant owners push back on the state's latest order. We'll talk to someone who says that with everything we know about COVID right now, indoor dining can be done safely. Hang on, that's coming up in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
The restaurant that we just heard about, Dolores, is one of thousands of Michigan restaurants to shut down during the pandemic. Justin Winslow is worried that with indoor dining closed for at least a few weeks this winter, many more will not make it to the spring. He's president and CEO of the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, and his group has filed a lawsuit over the state's most recent orders. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, can you set the scene for us a little bit? When you heard on Sunday that the governor was announcing that the state was going to be imposing these restrictions, can you tell us where you were and what you were doing?
Well, let me challenge the premise briefly here. We got word out on Friday that this was likely coming. And of course, rumors around this town, it's a small town in Lansing, suggested that a full closure was coming. So we really spent the whole weekend working with the administration, trying to collaborate, trying to find a deal that balanced the challenges that are before us in terms of public health that we recognize, we understand, and trying to prevent the outright decimation of the restaurant industry, right? It has been a very hard year for restaurateurs. They'd already been closed down 85 days earlier this year, and to do so this time again completely without a safety net of federal stimulus dollars, either for unemployment and benefits for those that are going to be laid off, or for some support just for restaurateurs to find that bridge to the other side when a vaccine becomes available. We were hopeful and had, you know, conversations and proposals from our end to the administration we were hopeful could be heard. We proposed and had the support from the association to reduce capacity inside restaurants to 25%, which we see in other states right now. But in addition, putting in place a 10 p.m. curfew, like is also in place in several other states right now. No state's doing both of those things simultaneously, by the way. And we knew that was going to be hard for the industry. We knew that was going to be less opportunity and frankly going to challenge the wherewithal to keep going for a lot of our operators. But we knew that once you close down, once you end that supply chain, it is really hard to get it back going again. It was received, but not discussed seriously. So we ultimately saw the closure on Sunday night.
What was your reaction when you heard what was going to happen?
Well, frustration, obviously, and a feeling of empathy and sympathy for the operators and the several hundred thousand people that work in this industry, because I know what it means. I know what's coming. We've already had discussions with several members that have laid off either all of or the vast majority of their staff already. We think that number is going to be 250,000 people within 2 weeks, laid off over the holiday, this time without federal supplemental benefits. And I'm a little nervous that the state's trust fund is essentially exhausted and what that means for those individuals to get benefits.
Yeah. Why did the association decide to file a lawsuit over this?
Well, I think this represents just the last available option to us. I would call it Plan Z. This is, you know, not done with any sort of ideological fervor or zeal. You know, people in this industry are tired. It's been a hard year. This represents the last chance to keep operating their business, because we know that 40% of our operators are going to close while there is a closure of dining in place. And I don't know how many of them are going to choose to reopen or be able to reopen on the other side.
Mm-hmm. What is the lawsuit claiming?
Well, I'm not an attorney, so I won't go too heavy into the argument, but it questions the equal protection standing. So basically, the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provides for equal protection and due process under law. Based on how this order has been put forth, there is a picking and choosing of what is closed and what is open. You can go out and get a tattoo, but you cannot get a taco. And there is not a clear understanding, at least as in relation to the state's own data that they collect of where transmission is happening, as to why some were left open and others were closed. And the non-delegation doctrine. So does the Department of Health and Human Services have this broad of a power and extended to it? And does the legislature have a role to play in this process? It's unclear, but you know, there's a section of law that's been used once in 120 years, and its use this year seems to dramatically extend beyond its use the one other time it has ever come into practical use.
You know, we talked with Robert Gordon, the director of the State Health and Human Services Department, just the other day, and he seemed pretty resolute in the opinion that epidemics aren't new and that these powers are not new and that they would have a case that they have used these powers before. Do you have thoughts on that?
I do. I think he is right. The epidemic section of the public health code exists. It has been used once in 102 years, and it was used for a grand total of 20 days. As I referenced earlier, this industry has already been closed for 85 days. It is proposed to be closed for another 21, and in our judgment, is very likely that that number is going to exceed 21 days. And so the question would be, is the scope of that section being accurately implemented, or is this a dramatic extension beyond what it should be used for?
Do you think the association would be in a little different position on this if some sort of continued COVID stimulus package were happening at the national level?
I think it would make it easier. I think if there were a collaborative effort made at the federal level and at the state level to have produced a safer outcome, a softer landing for this industry, we would not be in this position. I think if the administration had taken this up on our offer, we wouldn't be in this position right now.
I mean, I recognize that the infections that have happened in restaurants and bars, I want to say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 5% in the state. It is a very small percentage of the places where infection and transmission happened. That totally jives with what we've heard from health departments who say it's gatherings. It's small gatherings of friends and family, as well as some nursing homes. At the same time, given how incredibly high transmission rates have become, could the state afford to ignore the fact that there is 5% of the cases that have been transmitted in restaurants and bars, either as social hubs or as workplaces?
I think given the transmission rates, if the administration thought first and only about the safety of its citizens, then they would have done a hard stay in our shelter in place order like we saw in the spring. And that's just not what we saw, right? And so to your point, this industry has been singled out again, and it represents a portion, right? 5%, despite the size and scope of the industry, that portion doesn't jive with the impacts that are coming to this industry. We continually make the point that the human toll that's going to come from shutting this industry down is going to be dramatically worse than what transmission might have come should restaurants have been allowed to stay open.
Justin Winslow, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. There are lots more great Stateside conversations on air and online every day. You can find them at michiganradio.org. Also, we'd appreciate it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That's something that helps other people find our show. The executive producer of Stateside is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren with help from Jennifer Guerra. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.